Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble Euro, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Pete Donaldson's here.
Watch her beautiful.
Thanks, man. Oh, blooming heck. I'm back from Lyon. Wales are out. It's sad, but they leave with their head held.
Their heads held.
Their heads held high.
They all leave holding their heads.
I'm jet lagged.
Like England, France. You're jet lagged from the Eurostar back from Lyon.
It was a flight, actually.
Was it?
I had a nightmare going out. I had a text from good old EasyJet, 10 to 11, the night
before. Hey, Marcus. How you doing, girl?
It was pretty much like that. It was like, hey, how you doing, fella? Due to French industrial action, your flight tomorrow's cancelled. Sorry for any inconvenience.
As if that wouldn't be inconvenient.
As if there's a possibility that there would be no inconvenience.
As if it's a possibility that, like, you'd made a load of other plans just in case. I always like to take four different travel plans before I go on holiday, because you never know when three of them are going to fall through for a bunch of negligent dickheads.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, you made it.
You made it there. A lovely old time. If you love a river with bridges lit up beautifully at night, then Lyon is the place for you.
I've heard it's a beautiful place.
It's a glorious place.
I hope never for my children to be able to move there and work.
Yeah.
Brexit!
Yeah. Yeah. Well, leave your views to your own show.
Nah. Okay. they won't let me.
Well, Wales have gone, and it's a shame because they have been absolutely. It's ridiculous. 1958 was the last time they were in a major tournament. I know that's been said a lot, but for the first time since that long, you know, when Belgium got into a tournament the 2014 World Cup, everyone had been talking about the young Belgians, of course, and they didn't do too well. And people said, oh, but they don't have much tournament experience. They haven't been in a tournament for ages, da-da-da-da-da.
Well, Wales stopped them having a bit more, didn't they? Yeah.
And Wales have shown them that not being in a tournament for a while shouldn't matter.
I've not had a situation where I've been pumping for a nation that isn't England, England.
Isn't really England.
Yeah. What about the Geordie nation?
Despite what we said last time. Since 1994.
Are you okay?
Help! In the World Cup, Ireland. That was my first World Cup, and I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. Even though England went in this time, I was like, oh my god, Wales could get the final. I'm so excited for them.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just turning you off and on again.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's not the button.
It's one of the buttons.
Nothing's coming out of it.
Turned on again.
I would like to say to Wales, don't be downhearted. You know, they've given us such a great run, and they've held their end of the bargain up when England failed to do so. They give us a lot, as Pete just touched on. Hopefully, I can put it in more of a concise way.
No, help.
they really did give us something to cheer for, and it was great to see. And I'd also like to say, actually, one of the things that really struck me yesterday after the game is that Chris Coleman handled himself with such dignity. Yeah, and such class and such respect for his team and for the memory of Gary Speed, which could have been a very, very difficult situation because he knew he was going to be asked questions about it. He handled him with aplomb. He dealt him such a respectful end to the tournament. And he should be credited for that because he's someone whose stock and whose reputation has been increased greatly by this tournament. Yeah. And he's done absolutely brilliantly as a result of it. And they weren't unlucky against Portugal. They came up against a good team. I actually thought it was Portugal's best performance of the tournament.
Yeah, comfortably.
They're really growing into this tournament now, Portugal. And what we saw from them last night was a team who know what they're doing now. Mm. They seemed a lot more concise and effective with their passing, and a lot more able to execute a plan. And it just so happened that, unfortunately, it was against Wales that they did so. Wales did miss Aaron Ramsey. I think there was a time when, although that Wales didn't really threaten that much apart from that Gareth Bale shot from a corner, I don't really think they threatened an awful lot apart from that. They would have really benefited from Aaron Ramsey bringing that quality, but not only that, Jim, but that quality final ball. Yeah.
Do you not think that it's kind of how a mark of how far Wales have come and how far Coleman's work has been received, that they were beatable. Portugal were definitely beatable in that match. It was only a 5-minute period where they just took their foot off the gas and they managed to score two goals. From a dead ball and then a deflection. Very blunt up top, and they missed Ramsey, like you said. But they had chances.
But you're right, Pete. But Portugal were the better team.
Wales didn't have chances, though. I think that's the problem. I think Ramsey was a huge miss. If he was there, would he have made? He would have made a difference. Of course, would it have been a match-winning difference? I would guess not. I think that Wales were beaten by the better and a better side, and there's no shame about that at all. Much like England, of course. Laughter, please.
But do you not think with the changes that Coleman made, he made them when they needed to be made, so nobody could turn around and sort of go, you should have made that change earlier.
They did all they could with what they've got, and in that particular match, of course, they've gone far beyond their expectations. But I think with this match, you know, in the previous pod, I mentioned some chat about teams that are unfancied sides that get to semi-finals. It's very, very seldom do they go all the way to the final. And a lot of people kept saying it was a match too far for Wales. And I actually think to put it more accurately, it was a performance too far. Because when you have a performance like they did against Belgium, it takes an awful lot out of them. There's an awful lot of jubilation. The expectations change all of a sudden. Mm. You've got a team that have used largely the same side. I mean, you sort of say that about Portugal as well, I suppose. But they're going to be a bit tired. They've got a suspension in there. You know, Davis wasn't there as well. You know, a lot of eyes were on Gareth Bale. And
who was blowing out of his behind by the end. He looked knackered.
He tried to inspire his side, and he did make a few sloppy passes, but he tried to inspire. You certainly couldn't say that he played, you know, badly or anything like that. He couldn't do it.
And last 10 minutes, people were just sort of passing the ball to him, so I could just do something.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is that with that quality of performance, with a side like Wales, they're not a top quality side, you know, that's true. And people say, well, neither are England. Yeah. Go green. You know, we can talk about Wales without mentioning flipping England, but
which you haven't.
But Wales, you know, they're not top quality side. So to have that performance again for any side to do two big performances in a row is very, very rare. You know, you often don't get that with teams in competitions. Often you have teams that often win a tournament have two huge performances. Say, and I've said that without thinking too much into it. But do you know what I mean? They often grind out results. Penalty shootouts are involved.
There's going to be one. There's going to be at least one game that you absolutely have to grind out just because of the nature of, you know, the level of competition.
Luke said Portugal have grown into the tournament. Well, just as well, because there's only one game left for them.
Absolutely.
But you are right, Luke. And Portugal drew three games at group level. They finished third in their group. In old tournaments, previous tournaments, wouldn't have got
they
through.
They would have gone out. And also, they needed extra time in two games before the semi. Mm.
Yeah, Portugal, they're now, well, obviously, they're still in the hat. And with Bet365, they're 15-8 to win the whole thing now. So £10 on that returns you £28.75, including your stake. Mm. I wanted to ask the group, actually, what you thought of, particularly of Cristiano Ronaldo's performance. Because it's no coincidence to me that I think that Portugal are starting to grow into it as Ronaldo is starting to grow into it. And people are saying, oh, you know, it's not all about Cristiano Ronaldo, but I don't think it's a coincidence that they're both coming into form at the right
time. His free kicks are getting closer, I know that.
He nearly repeated that one that he scored for Man United against, was it Portsmouth?
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
That brilliant one he scored. It's very similar technique. It didn't quite go off, but that would have been a moment, wouldn't it? But I think the thing with Ronaldo is, for a lot of players, and maybe we've seen this a little bit with Gareth Bale, they don't like it all being about them. The pressure's too much. Ronaldo loves that. He thrives on it. He has to have it like that. And we're still seeing the tantrums, but I think he's keeping his head a bit more, and he's a lot more visibly a lot more focused now, isn't he? And obviously the team are reaping the benefits.
I saw a really interesting piece of camera footage of Ronaldo from the quarter final when they went to penalty shootouts against Poland, of course, and it showed another side of Ronaldo. I don't think he knew the camera was on him. And they're all gathering around trying to work out who's going to take penalties. And he's trying to get João Moutinho to take one. Did you see the video?
No, I haven't seen this.
And Moutinho's walked off and is on the bench. And I can't actually remember if Moutinho took one. I think he did. And he's saying to Moutinho over and over again, it's obviously in Portuguese, but it's translated. He's saying, you strike them really well. Come on, you've got to take one. You take really good penalties. It's in God's hands now. Don't worry about it. Who cares? And saying, look, if you don't score, fuck it. He's basically saying that. And he's really trying to chew him up. And Moutinho actually does get up. And I think he takes one. Mm. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm fairly sure he did, and it showed Ronaldo in another light.
Yeah,
because I think there is obviously more to him than these.
Oh, completely. I think
the guy's a leader
with Ronaldo, and it was interesting to see the game in the flesh, of course. And one thing, if you think Ronaldo's a prima donna on the TV, my goodness, you see so much more of it, because when he goes down,
I thought you were going to say you should see me with EasyJet.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Kicking off on the text.
Yeah. Well, when I got on the flight on the way back, when I arrived back in Blighty, I whipped my top off and did that pose that he does, you know, fist clenched.
Did anyone notice?
The security did.
They think it was an exo machine.
Well, you're halfway towards a strip show, so.
Marcus is x-rayed. They can see through your clothes. Put it back on.
But with Ronaldo in the flesh, of course, what you get is, he goes down, say, like Ashley Williams' challenge, and the referee doesn't give it, and arms up in the air, and he's flapping around. And then the game carries on, and, of course, the television cameras go back to the game. For a good minute or two after, he's still going on.
Yeah.
But what I realised about that is, Ronaldo is the player on the team where, I, like you say, Luke, I've no doubt that the guy's probably a decent fella, or at least has some kind of decency in him.
I've heard that about him, actually. As much as we joke about him, I've heard from people who knew him in Manchester. This, you know, it's via a lot of Chinese whispers, but apparently he is an absolutely stand-up human being.
Right, and so what he's saying there to João Moutinho and the penalties and so on and so forth, you know, I don't think he'd be the idiot around the camp that none of the players like. Like, that was quite clearly the case with Adebayor I said that like Gary Neville, Adebayor, when he played for Togo.
Hi, you're right. Hello, hiya.
All right, I'm Gary. Welcome to Valencia. And so with Ronaldo, I think that the manager will say to the players, just when he's flapping around and when he's moaning, that he is creating this idea that the referees are against me, the opposition are against me, everyone's against me. Right, I've got to show them. Yeah. That's his psychology.
It's like Maradona.
A little bit. That's his psychology. That's what he does. He creates this. And I reckon the manager will say to the players, if he's getting annoyed, ignore him. I can't remember which goalkeeper it was. Then the manager said to the centre-backs, when he lets a goal in, he will give you an absolute roasting, whether it's your fault or not. Because what he's doing, he is not taking any of the blame. Because if he takes the blame, he'll go, oh, that was my fault. Maybe I'm not invincible.
Is it Joe Hart?
No, but he'll say, he'll take it to heart, and he'll get a little bit annoyed at himself, and his confidence will wane. And I think Ronaldo, that is the psychology.
I once saw, interviewed Matt Murray, ex-Wolves goalkeeper, as you guys know, and he said something very interesting on that. He said that one thing he'd learned and he had been coached at as a goalkeeper over the years was that as soon as the goal is conceded, the whole team like, essentially takes responsibility for whatever's happened. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that's allowed to be said in the teams he played in was, it has to be positive. If you've got nothing positive to say after that goal's gone in that you can see it, don't say anything.
Yeah.
If you do, you're going to be fined or whatever, because there's no place for it. We don't need that. It's happened. You can't do anything about it. You've got to concentrate on the next one. And I think that's probably a very, very helpful psychology thing to do, because I don't like to, despite what you're saying about the goalkeeper giving someone pelters or whatever, I don't really like to see that, to be honest, because you know you've made a mistake. You know what I mean? mean? It's
no, but the point, is, whether you agree with that psychology or not, that is what's behind that kind of behaviour. But there was a sense in the stadium for the neutrals, and obviously for the Portuguese fans, it was a real privilege to see that Ronaldo goal, to see him equal the record of Platini. And despite all his tantrums and whatnot, there is one of the greatest footballers of all time, and one of the best headers of a football.
It's ridiculous.
And do you know what? This tournament is, in terms of crossing the ball, this tournament's been an absolute disgrace. I tell you what, David Beckham's right foot must be weeping.
That's about £100 million. Chris Coleman said that after the game, didn't he? He said, look, the guy was taught on him. I can't know anything about how good an athlete Ronaldo
is. The way he hangs in the air, it's like Celeste Ferdinand, Peter.
The leap and the power in his neck as well. There's so much direction on it. One of the things I absolutely loved about Ronaldo's celebration as well was that he was mobbed, and yet he still did his post thing. He waited for the crowd to disperse and still did it. And I don't know, like, I would imagine that whatever happens tonight with France and Germany, whoever wins that game will probably be the favourite in the final against Portugal.
Oh, they will be.
But something about it, just it almost feels like it's Ronaldo's time, doesn't it? Breaking the record in the final with a winning goal. It's very Ronaldo to do that.
Messi getting done for tax.
Exactly. Having just lost in a final.
It's all coming up Cristiano.
Exactly.
You can't tell me Ronaldo didn't read that in the paper.
Loving
there,
it.
Oh, yeah.
Paid my tax. Just got on accounting.
In the same summer that Messi himself lost the final and missed a penalty in that shootout.
Absolutely.
Ronaldo,
absolutely.
I mean, there's a quote here from Ronaldo saying, now we have to get ready for Sunday and we want to make this dream come true. I believe that we'll win. With a lot of work, humility and the spirit of self-sacrifice, which I've always shown in my career, these sorts of things are doable. By the way, did you see what happened to Lionel Messi? So, he's obviously taking a lot of spirit from it.
I mean, interesting. He uses the word humility.
Yeah. He's used the word humility and self-sacrifice there. It's like you on a ramble record, Pete.
I think so. Yeah.
He had to self-sacrifice for that humility. But it was the way. Just one more thing about his heading. The way when he jumps up in the air and he kind of, if you like, cocks his head, if you know what I mean, ready to fire the gun.
Yeah.
He holds his head back for that second or two, and it's almost like waiting.
Do you know who he reminds me of doing that? He reminds me of the great Oliver Bierhoff.
Oh yeah,
he used to do that.
Fantastic.
And Christian Vieri also used to do that.
That's right.
The first 20 minutes, though, I thought he, compared to how good he is at heading a ball in the box or in the 8-yard box at least, his hold up play wasn't coming off effectively.
Collins did a good job on it.
Was just getting the header in every single time.
I must say though, I did like how he was sort of dropping back into midfield to win the ball if he had to as well. It was a really good team performance from Ronaldo as well.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. We're going to talk more about the Euros, of course, after this.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Euros, everybody. Portugal are in the final. Can you blink and believe it? Peter, you were concerned about the kit clash, would you say?
Yeah,
it seems strange that Wales weren't in red, because that wouldn't have clashed with Portugal's, I don't know what you would call that,
fluorescent green. Apparently it was, though. That was the problem.
I think UEFA thought that the Wales red kit and the Portuguese red kit clashed, but then the... Yeah.
No, because Portugal were the home team, weren't they? So their home team kit clashed with the Wales away
but
kit.
But also with the Wales, the Wales home kit and their black kit.
Yeah.
So then it had to be both teams in the away kit. But Nicholas Ward on Twitter, he made a brilliant point. He said, why is it called a kit clash and not a kit blend? Surely you want the kits to clash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should we ride that train from now
kit
on?
Blend.
Change it. That's how it's kit blend.
Ah, there's been a kit blend.
Yeah. We had to change kit because otherwise it would have been a kit blend.
Yeah. What Jon Snow does in the morning.
You used to be in a band called Kit Blend, didn't you, Pete?
Yeah,
you could never see them with the curtain. Peter, Renato Sanches, eh?
He's a fantastic player. Isn't he?
Sorry, are you interviewing Pete now? Is that what the show has become?
What Peter thinks.
Seriously, let us know, because you and I will chip off, mate.
Oh, no, you'll chip off. Sanchez is going to be playing his trade at Bayern Munich in the next season's footballs. But a lot of running from that man. He was not happy to be taken off.
No, I love that.
His performance did fade as the game went on.
But he played his way into the team. They didn't start the tournament with him in it. And I think they were poorer as a result. And he played his way into the team, and of course he clearly doesn't want to be taken off. He's 18, 19, whatever age he is. He wants to play. He's not going to get tired. Mm-hmm. He wants to play. So I think it's one of those old cliches, you never want to see someone happy to be taken off, but it's true. I mean, he's a Rolls Royce for a player, really. He's going to have such a big future.
Definitely. We spoke about Portugal having quite a functional squad, and there is a degree of truth in that, and that has been how they've got to the position that they're in. But also there's some real depth in it. Having João Moutinho and Quaresma come off the bench is pretty tidy, because Quaresma's having a great tournament, even though he's very much a sort of bit part player in it and has been cameoing. He's had an effect in pretty much all those games.
When Pepe drops out, it's brute for brute. Yeah, Bruno Alves comes in.
Absolutely.
Pepe was loving it on the bench. Loving it.
But he's thinking, yes, I get one more game. Bruno Alves, my only prediction to the people I was at the semi-final with was Bruno Alves will at least get a booking in this match. Mm. And of course he did. But it was through non-traditional means. I think, what did he do? Did he kick the ball away, or he got in front of the keeper, or did something?
He was all right, because they sort of said before the match that he wasn't going to be playing. He was possibly a weak point for the Portugal team, which is weird to say, I guess.
He's not a particularly great centre-half.
The bottom of his foot wasn't a weak point. It smashed into Harry Kane's head.
When Ronaldo got that booking for something really... was it to kick the ball away or something?
Like that,
Even though he didn't really kick it away and he got booked, I thought... Imagine if you missed the final through that.
You can't, can you? Oh, if you get sent off, you can. You can't. They wipe the bookings after the semi, so you can't miss the final.
But even so, though, I was thinking the same thing. Right. What if he gets another booking now and misses the final?
If you get sent off, you do, I think. But if you accumulate bookings, it's wiped clean ahead of the final.
Yeah, and it's weird because is it the World Cup? It's quarters, but I think for this time, for some reason, it's semis. But I don't understand why they would do that.
They changed it all around so people don't miss the final, basically.
That's probably...
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
But I think semis are just as important. I think you should wipe it at quarters. Because
didn't help Aaron Ramsey, did it?
Because it's a lot more teams in it.
I sort of wish that they just you couldn't be suspended. I know that's ridiculous, but I think, from a neutral point of view, it does harm the tournament.
Well, I think two yellow cards, maybe make it three.
Two in five games seems harsh.
Two is too few, I think. I don't know. There's got to be a punishment there. You can't change the sort of fundamental laws.
Yeah, maybe that's it. You add one in.
Three or something would be fine. If you get booked in, I think it's fair. If you get booked in every group game, I think you're fair enough to be suspended.
Yeah, and also, I think this tournament has been infamous for really crappy professional fouls. I'd like to see somebody crack down on that. Just this kind of, you know what's coming. Uh-huh. He's going to put an arm out and drag him down. It's just...
But we talked about it before, Peter. I don't know what alternative punishment is. It's the yellow. You can't give a red for that. You cannot give a red for that.
No,
a yellow is absolutely fine. It's essentially what a yellow is designed for.
I think what in you're the last 20, there, it should be a red.
Really?
In the last 20 minutes, it should be red. Everyone else in the match.
In the last 20, it should be red if you're ahead.
Yeah.
If you're winning.
Yeah, exactly.
What you're doing there is you're looking to try and bend the laws of the game as they are around the world, because you're personally quite annoyed about something.
Yeah, exactly.
As we all know, it's down to Michel Platini to do.
Actually, Platini's legacy, I suppose, has been the expanded tournament where actually it probably has affected the quality of the game, not being allowed, and Ronaldo at least equaling his record. Not been a good summer for him, has it?
It hasn't been a good summer, but he's also a part of the reason why the championships will change in its format in 4 years' time with regards to the venue or venues. Mm-hmm. But Portugal in the final, Cristiano Ronaldo equaled his record. Of course, I think he has played 20 European Championship games now, Cristiano Ronaldo, more than any other man.
Yeah.
And in three semi-finals he's appeared.
Yeah.
They will, of course, play France or Germany.
This is an intriguing one, isn't it?
Looking forward to it. France are favourites for it. France are 17-10 to beat Germany with Bet365. So £10 returns £27, including your stake. I think that's obviously because they're at home, right? That's the only reason. Because I've been impressed with Germany. I've been more impressed with Germany's cliched efficiency than I have France until France got to the quarters. Mm. But then, of course, they're only playing Iceland, weren't they? So it's difficult to know.
What an easy game.
Yeah, no, exactly. if you lost to Iceland, you must be some sort of mug.
isn't there a thing here where something has to give? Because haven't Germany knocked out some insane amount of host nations, and also France have won every tournament on home soil? Is that right?
That sounds about right.
I think that might be right.
Two immovable objects.
Yeah.
Did they host the World Cup back in the 50s?
No, they didn't. They hosted it in 80. Yeah, 80.
No, 84 they hosted 84. The Euros.
1998 was their first World Cup final. So, yeah.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of the Swiss.
L'Equipe described...
Swiss did host it back in the day, yeah.
L'Equipe described France's performance against Iceland as almost perfect.
They still conceded two goals against Iceland, which would be good news for Germany.
What's almost perfect in French, Pete?
It's presque parfait.
Nice. A
few French people I was chatting to in Lyon that are concerned about that French back line.
Okay. Yes, that's the weak point.
I would also like to say that one of the French people I was talking to is a Lyon fan, and him and I had a lovely chorus of Journino, la 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 la.
Lovely one.
Pernambucano, la 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 la. Mm. On a boat bar.
Wow.
A boat bar.
On the Rhone.
Speller in live theatre.
Speller on tour.
It doesn't get more Marcus than that. It does not get more Marcus than
in
that.
In the field.
Bed, Bath, Beyond and Boat Bar.
Yeah.
With Marcus Speller.
Hey, Lyon had a Marcus in it.
It's always nice of a Marcus.
Lit up that city. Let me tell you. And that city was very well lit up.
Adi Ram is going to come back into the side, isn't he? So that's a bonus for them, I think.
It's a bonus for Rami.
By the way, I don't think he's fantastic or anything like that, but I think he's certainly better than the replacement that played instead of him.
Kante's back, isn't he?
Yeah, that's the thing. Are they going to pick Kante? I think if they pick Kante, people are saying that Griezmann's going to have to play wider.
Yeah,
where he's not as effective
down the centre. Ah.
So I think Deschamps might go for the same team playing against Iceland. Just go
Sissoko in.
Yeah.
Sissoko in.
Sissoko and Matuidi, did they start? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Misremembering.
Yeah, I remember Sissoko did because I've got an eye for that tit.
Germany without Khedira and Gomez due to injury, and Mats Hummels is suspended.
See, that's a big miss.
It is a huge. Luke, what is our bet of the show?
Our bet of the show is we're going to head back to the chat earlier of Cristiano Ronaldo, and we're going to say that we think as Portugal will grow into this tournament, Cristiano Ronaldo has also grown into it, and he is currently 9-4 with Bet365 to be player of the tournament. So £50 on that returns you £162.50, including your stake, with all proceeds, of course, going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. And for more information on responsible gambling, go to
gambleaware.co.uk.
Thank you very much.
What are the odds on Hal Robson-Kani finding a club?
I'm not sure.
All bets are off.
another thing I do actually quite like is Antoine Griezmann. Because the Ronaldo thing, being player of the tournament, is the fact that you can easily see him scoring the winner in the final.
Well, like you said, he's growing at the top. He's a grown out of shire.
If he scores the winner in the final, he will be crown player of the tournament. There's no question about that. But Griezmann's already got 4 goals and he's a standout candidate for top scorer. And he's 8-11 with Bet365 to be top scorer. So £10 on that gives you £17.27 including your stake. That caught my eye as well, so I thought I'd just mention that. But on the Hal Robson-Kani thing, I think he'll have his pick of the clubs. It's impossible to say because he can go anywhere.
Well, I turn back to young Pete Donaldson and say, Peter, you were reading in a fine publication recently.
Mum and Dad's favourite.
that he used to live next door to Princess Diana, Hal Robson-Kani.
He did, yeah. Apparently he's from a bit of... cash.
From riches to riches.
From riches to riches. And, yeah, his dad was a priest, I think, in a fairly...
I think that was his granddad. Read the same piece. And it said, with pretty much no more information, that Mick Jagger's daughters used to chase him around.
But
what a life!
Was that in the...
What training?
Was that in Sunday school? Because he went to church with Mick Jagger. Presumably that's not Charlotte Church.
No.
He went to church with Mick Jagger.
Yeah, it's not too bad, is it? You rarely get footballers. We talked about this a little bit earlier on in the day, in our private life.
I'll tell you what. When he turned that defender, the Belgian defender, and scored, he would have said, "Oi, Mick, get some satisfaction from that, mate.
I'm dancing in the box." The Jagger daughter's just out of the picture. Yeah. See you later, ladies.
Can't catch him anymore.
Uh-huh. And then he went down to Marseille with England fans and became a street fighting man.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Let's move on from that swiftly, all right?
Well, you stunk up the podcast with it. Don't blame us.
I just wish I could think of more Rolling Stones songs. I've got them to hand. I could bang out a load of them, but I can't.
Ah, shame. What else have we got? Let's have some highlights, Luke.
Do you want some highlights? All right. Well, I've got some highlights ready. I actually thought we were going to do them just after the break, but we can push them back. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
We've had the break.
Paul Appenting has got in touch saying, European Championships might be happening. Paul doesn't care. He's not bothered. He says, my highlight this week was holding on to a narrow 7-6 victory in the Wooden Spoon game in our five-a-side league. The sporting losers then revealed that they worked for a local brewery and handed out beers all round.
Yay.
A gentleman's game being played by gentlemen.
Wasn't it like 7 years ago today? Sergeant Pepper taught his band to play.
That's the Beatles. Runs,
yeah. Sorry. Paint it black.
Just let it be, Peter.
We were doing... We played a five-a-side top. Shut
Oi, come together, Peter.
We played. I hate puns.
Shut up, you walrus.
That's poor. There's always one punt that goes too far and everyone stops. So that's done now, so that's fine.
We played in a football match. We played in a five-a-side tournament in Birmingham and our opposition were drinking mojitos they'd made themselves.
They were.
And we won that tournament for reasons unknown. In the previous sentence.
We did win it.
Yeah, it was 7 years ago.
Is that your highlight of the week, Pete?
I think so.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
You know it was 7 years ago because it came up in my Facebook feed, didn't it?
Yeah. I also got one of those little videos that Facebook automatically makes about you being friends with this person for so long. And here's like a lovely romantic video, and it was me and you.
Yes, did you share it?
I had one of those ones.
Not celebrating.
Sometimes the pictures obviously just aren't of you because they're things you've uploaded. And one of them was something a friend of mine had posted on my timeline, which was a bouncy castle full of kids, but all of the kids had Chris Akabushi's head. I can't remember why it even exists, but it was set to that really sort of saccharine Facebook music. It was brilliant.
Goodness, that sounds fantastic.
Any more highlights?
Yeah, I've got loads more. Gareth Stephen. He says, Harry Kane has been replaced on the ITV Dr. Dre headphones advert. God only knows the damage Kane's Euros have done for sales of that brand. Also a move prophesied by Chris Waddle. They're all just headphones. Not anymore, Chris. Not anymore. What else have we got here? ITV commentator. Ronaldo has scored his 9 goals in 20 games. Platini scored his 9 in 5. A dig very clearly pouring cold water on the Ronaldo party. That's from Paul Hamley. And Grimmer Johansson, he says, my highlight is Iceland being the only team at the Euros to score in all their matches. Ah. To which that was replied by Dowie Howe. Said, right, there were New Zealand being the only unbeaten team through the 2010 World Cup for great trivia. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Because they drew 3, didn't they?
That's right.
Drew 3 and didn't go through.
Just like Portugal
didn't go through. Goodness,
and I'll finish off the highlights with Elliot Bowker. He says, Luke's bizarre rant about Wales fans and their expectations on the last ramble. Please keep telling us what we can and can't celebrate. Oh, someone's team's been knocked out, haven't they? Someone's team's been knocked out. Pathetic.
Goodness, mate.
Very tabloid, your bizarre rant.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't that bizarre, was it? It wasn't even really a rant.
A four-in-a-bed orgy rant.
Just to back you up there, it was quite funny when the Portugal fans were brilliant, by the way. They're very underrated fans. You often hear about certain supporters, but they were absolutely fantastic. Singing away, and I've no idea what they were singing, but it was very much on the victory march. Was up the other end, I can hear, I don't want to go to work, please don't send me home. And I was like, yeah, the contrast. But, Wales got the semi-final, etc. Well done.
I know we're running out of time, but do you want a quick email?
Love an email. I really would, mate.
It's a fun one. It's really from Mark Edgar. He says, now that the excitement of the Euros are essentially over after our brave West England has lost out, let's face it, to basically Spain's version of Wales, I was feeling dejected.
West Spain.
A flurry of messages on our WhatsApp group at full time was capped off by one of our number claiming he was particularly annoyed because he had a pound on John Collins to score at any time. He meant James Collins, obviously. So as a result, I decided to set them all an impromptu quiz of John Collins or Collins John.
Ooh.
And you guys can play it.
Okay.
It's three questions. He's just getting the ball rolling.
Mm.
He says, three questions, a couple of example questions here that you can try out. He says, admittedly, this is a limited quiz, but with some invasive background checks, I think this could really be a smash hit. So, question one, who has played for the greater number of senior clubs? Is it John Collins or Collins John? This is to Marcus.
I'll have John Collins.
It's correct.
Mm.
Thanks.
No, it's not really. It's Collins Johns. Oh. He has played for 13 clubs, and John Collins only played for
more
6.
More of a journeyman.
Yeah, but did he say top clubs?
No, he didn't. He said senior clubs.
Ah, sorry, I thought he said top clubs, and I was going, I'll get him on a technicality. Yeah.
In the words of you, Marcus, you've had your one. Next up,
his last club was the Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
Senior.
Peter, you're up next. Who scored the greater number of senior international goals? Was it John Collins or Collins John?
I'm going to go for...
Big John.
Yeah, John Collins.
Mm. It is John Collins. He scored 12 goals for the Tartan Army, whereas poor old Collins John never scored for the Netherlands. Jim, you're up last, but by no means least. Who measures up taller between the two at 5'11"?
Oh, I'd say Collins.
I'm going to go... No, I'm going to go John Collins.
You got that wrong, mate.
It's Collins John.
Yeah.
He's 5'11" and John Collins is only 5'7".
I think I'm better at assisting.
Yeah, I think
scoring.
You probably are. Yeah, you got your one wrong and you helped everyone else.
Yeah.
Pete, could you offer some advice for Mark Edgar on how he could go about getting a copyright on this quiz?
Well, just it's easy. It's like £20, £50, something like that. Just send it to the patent office. It's all on Google.
I mean, you say it's easy, but you didn't get a patent.
Somebody inquired on Twitter about my armpit lasering today.
Oh, yeah?
So I replied saying, yeah, 2 thumbs up.
Any update?
It's good. It's good. Much better than it was. Mirror dry. 2 thumbs up. Can I have another treatment for free?
Are you getting? You getting anything else? Sorry, are you getting anything else lasered?
No, nothing. No plans. Unless something grows.
Any lasers added to you?
Oh, I'd love that.
Not anymore.
I could do my own lasers.
You don't need more, Pete. Yeah. You've got enough.
You've got enough.
And you should get your eyes lasered. Could you wear glasses?
You know, laser eye surgery is not what you think. You can't zap anything afterwards.
What? Why is it so expensive?
Well, that's what I thought. That is what I thought.
True enough. I think we've had enough as well.
I think they've had enough of us.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. Euro sponsored by Bet365. We will be back on Friday, tomorrow, in the afternoon. We won't give you a specific time. We will say in the afternoon to talk about, of course, the France and Germany semi-final.
And look ahead to the final.
Exciting.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye, Peter.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.